जाए, गंगा मई की जाए, यमुना मई की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलपुर की जाए, समबेर भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौ प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अवसर जानियामि कोरिबा निवेदन से काली जाय कोरिहा प्रभुरा मिदन मिलन सर्वभौम भट्टाचार्य कंटिन्यूड
I will try to speak especially for you. Does anyone have reading glasses? No, it's all right. Now I will be seeing through the eyes of a great Vaishnava. Thank you.
ए माता पुरद्वारा आगे पाताया था सकला सो दिला था हाके बरी ने भाखा था
Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam, Cheto Dharapana Marajanam.
In this age, everyone's heart is especially uncleaned, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ridyantasto hyabhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto Dharapara Marajanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 confirms this statement. Srinvatam Sukatha Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtana Haridyantastohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Sri Krishna, Srinvatam Sukata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart. And the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust, in other words, anyabhilashita purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about by fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, anyabhilashita sunyam jnanakarmadya navritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity, and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. In an inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activities, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, samsara vishanale divani shihia jvale judaiti na kainu upai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruit of activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus, the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities. But people do not know how life after life they are keeping the hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way these sufferings can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadhavo hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme. Speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tan aham vishata kruran samsareshu naradhaman shipam shipami ajashram asubhan asurishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has showed us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple
fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activities, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding. Pratishtasha, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jivahimsa, envy of other living entities. Nishidachar, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtasa, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. The word jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakar, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never compromise with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, or meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks in the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garment for cleansing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled.
The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. When the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nibriti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundichat Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostete Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar
Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done.
I am very grateful to be in your divine presence once again in New Dwarka. Thank you very much. Thank you, Swavas Prabhu, Archita Prabhu, for giving me a chance to serve. Greatest benediction is the chance to serve. In preparation of cleaning our consciousness for the coming Rath Yatra festival, we are today reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 12, entitled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple, text 135. This illustrious purport of Srila Prabhupada reveals everything. He has taken the essence and the purpose of the volumes and volumes and volumes of Vedic literatures and compressed it in this purport. What is the purpose of life and how to achieve it? Srila Prabhupada quotes from his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how this cleansing of the Gundicha temple was such a personification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and his message to the world. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who has come in a beautiful golden form to taste the infinite sweetness of Sri Radha's love, the supreme devotee, and his own Ladini Shakti. And he has come to teach us by his example how to awaken that love within our own hearts. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the role of his own devotee. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this principle can only actually be understood by one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Now, when the scriptures talk about understanding, it is not just an intellectual, theoretical knowledge. It is realization. It is experience. To actually know means to realize. That is something very deep. How many of you understand that you are not this body? We have heard it so many times, sometimes we're tired of hearing it. When are we going to get into higher topics?
just by reading a book, we can understand that we're not this body, that we're eternal, that we are beyond birth and death. But to know it means to realize, to experience the spiritual platform beyond this body. To actually go beyond the pleasures, the pains, the honor, the dishonor, the happiness, the distress, the success, the failure, all these dualities of material existence. To transcend that. To be free of fear. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Sochati Nakankshati. To actually be joyful in any situation of life. That is real knowledge of Brahma Gyan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come to display by his own activities the means by which we can realize our spiritual essence. Prema Pumartha Mahan and love Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared to be the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. It is the spotless Purana. It is very interesting. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's life's work was to translate and give commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. In Sri Radha Damodar Temple, he would spend so much of his life for this purpose. He had all the major commentaries of the major commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam. Each verse, painstakingly, he gave us translation and word-for-word translation. He would dictate it. Of course, in Radha Damodar Temple, he was writing it. And then after reading all the commentaries, he would meditate and pray. And his realizations, what he called his devotional ecstasies, he was giving to the world in his commentary. Before he began Srimad Bhagavatam, before even the first verse, he wrote a prolific introduction, which was a summary study of the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The easiest, most direct, and efficient way of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is to understand the life of the Lord. Because Lord Chaitanya personified the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was Acharya. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this verse. If we want to understand the goal of life and the real purpose of reading the scriptures, you will not understand it simply by reading the scriptures. You will not understand it by any amount of austerities, by any amount of charity or philanthropic activities, by any yogic practices. You won't understand it even by getting PhDs in Sanskrit and memorizing all the Vedas. The Lord reveals the essence of true spirituality in the lives of his devotees. Then everything becomes real and makes sense. That is why it is said you can only understand the book Bhagavatam through the person Bhagavatam. Because the person Bhagavatam is showing us, teaching us, not only through words and explanations, by example, how to practically follow it in our daily life. Jnana and vijnana. Theoretical knowledge is only realized by practically applying it. Every day, every moment. And this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. In this purport, we find no compromise. If we want to understand Krishna, the heart must be completely cleansed. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra Parama Nirmatsaranam Satam, pushes aside all sub-religious principles. Whether we study Vedas or any of the religions of the world, the majority of people are approaching God or some divinity for the purpose of improving the pleasure of life. To have better health, better family, better wealth, more prestige and power, even up to the point of elevation to heavenly planets. What is such a goal that people are passionate to achieve? Srimad Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares to dust and undesirable grains of sand. Other people, through charity, through meditation, asanas, pranayama, they want to achieve miraculous powers. Sometimes these powers are for the purpose of controlling and manipulating others. Other times these powers are for the purpose of healing others from disease or mental distress. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares all of these mystic cities and the desire for them to be dust and sand that must be swept out. And others follow the scriptures because they want liberation. They practice their spiritual principles because they're tired of suffering. They want to go beyond this body. They want to realize their spiritual essence. Some want to become God. Some simply want, some understand that God is a person. Their motivation is to approach Him, chant His names, to perform His puja, to do our meditation or our other disciplines for the purpose of mukti, salvation, no more suffering. That's a very high platform for most people, even for devotees. We're suffering so much mental and physical distress. Yes? So many things are happening, both externally and internally. We want some peace. We want some relief.
But even that desire is considered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam to be like dust and sand. It must be cleansed from the heart if we want the real goal. Prema Pumartamahan. The ultimate goal of life is unmotivated love for Krishna. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokchaje ahoitiki aprati hata yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to actually satisfy the soul. Because that is our nature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the world through his devotee. Sanatana Goswami. On the bank of the river Ganges, near the Bindu Madhava temple in Varanasi. For 2 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat throughout the entire day to instruct Sanatana Goswami. Practically from sunrise to sunset, he was speaking. Sanatana Goswami, in rapt attention, was hearing. The very first instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami and to all the world, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, that we are all eternally servants of Krishna. It is our nature. Our nature is to love Krishna. Love is never selfish. Love is selfless. Love means for the pleasure of the beloved. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the mood of Lord Chaitanya in the Antya-lila. Therein he tells how in his Sri Radharani's love is only for Krishna. The gopis, they're willing to suffer for all eternities to give Krishna a moment of satisfaction. That is why they are the most dear to Krishna. We know the story when Krishna had headache. Nobody else would give dust of their feet to Krishna. The gopis were willing to immediately send the dust of their feet and put it on Krishna's head. And when asked, how can you do this? Do you know the reaction? Of course we know the reaction. Eternal suffering in hell. But that's not a concern for us. Our concern is Krishna has a headache. If this makes him feel good, then let it be. That is love. That cannot be imitated. We can talk about it. We could think about it. But to be willing to do that, not tomorrow, but today, it's easy to think that tomorrow, selfless, unmotivated devotional service. But right now, there's issues I have to deal with. But there's a problem. For the rest of eternity, there will be issues we have to deal with. Maya never lets up. There'll always be a reason to postpone it for another day. Birth after birth after birth. Through creation after creation after creation. Lord Brahma lives approximately 311 trillion years. Hare Krishna. That's the span of this universe's life. How many lifetimes of Brahma
are we going to procrastinate? I know what I have to do, but there's some issues I have to deal with. A little later, I'll do it. Definitely. I already know. I've already decided. Maya will never, ever, ever let you do it. She'll always have so many reasons. Until we decide by our own free will, yes. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, following in the footsteps of gopis, following in the footsteps of the great souls, now is the time. I want to strive for this pure devotional service. I'm willing to accept whatever may come in my expression of love for Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. And we understand how to show love for Krishna by our service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Why did Krishna put Srila Prabhupada on the Jaladuta? Krishna is the supreme controller. It would have been no problem at all for Krishna to have someone walk into Radha Damodar Temple and give Prabhupada a first-class ticket on Air India to New York. Why? Why he had to travel by third-class train to Bombay? Maybe you haven't rode on third-class trains in the 1960s. If you have, you know what it's about. And then in Bombay, he's going to this lady and begging, pleading, give me passage on your cargo ship. Now, Krishna is in everyone's heart. He could have told Sumati Muraraji, oh, yes, yes, please, you have it, take it, go. She said, no, I refuse. You will not get this ticket. Prabhupada begged. Such a great scholar, such a paramhamsa, standing at her steps begging. He just sat outside her office, outside on the stairs in the hot sun, refusing to leave until he got that ticket. Finally, she relented. She told him, you shouldn't go. It's too cold. You're old. It's cold and you're old. You will die. I cannot take responsibility. And then Srila Prabhupada took another third-class train from Bombay to Calcutta. It's about if the train is on time, it's about a 45-hour train ride. And I think he went on the Bombay Mail. It's always late. Always late. It's the cheapest train, the Bombay Mail. It's always late. And then in Calcutta, took a train to Krishnanagar, took a boat to Mayapur. There he sat at his Guru Maharaj's samadhi because he was doing all of this to please his spiritual master. That is love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the same principle. Lord Chaitanya didn't really preach.
He was Nimai Pandit. He was such a great scholar. He was actually harassing devotees. He would grab Gadadhar Pandit and say, "I have some questions to ask you." And Gadadhar Pandit would say, "Please leave me alone." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I'll let you go only after you answer my questions." Said, "What is your question?"
"What is the meaning of liberation?"
"Mukti." Gadadhar Pandit quoted from Shastra. "Mukti means the cessation of all material desires, the cessation of all material sufferings." Lord Chaitanya, he quoted all these different shastras and so much logic to disprove him and defeat him. And Gadadhar Pandit was speechless. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "I'll let you go today, but tomorrow I'll have more questions for you." One time Lord Chaitanya was with his students and they were walking, and Mukunda Dutt, who's a great kirtan singer and a pure devotee of the Lord, he saw Lord Chaitanya coming his direction, and all of a sudden he just turned around and fled. And Lord Chaitanya said to the students, "Why did Mukunda run away like that?" And the student said, "Well, he must have some very, very pressing appointment that he was going to attend to." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, it's because he knows that I will talk all mundane grammatical rules and regulations, and I will engage him in a debate on these material topics. And because he's a great devotee, he hates talking nonsense, so he's run away from me." But then the Lord called out in a very loud voice. He said, "Mukunda, someday I will become such a great devotee that you will never, ever, ever be able to tolerate a moment in separation from me." And all the students were thinking, what is he talking? So this was what he was like. Until he went to Gaya and met Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master. He served his guru. Menial. He cooked for him, cleaned for him, served him. Sacrificed his own meal for his guru. And then, after taking the mantra initiation, Lord Chaitanya told Prakashananda Saraswati that his guru chastised him. He said, "All the study of Vedanta, don't bother with it. Chant the holy names of Krishna." He said, "My Guru Maharaj gave me this verse to always meditate upon. Harinama, harinama, harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata." That in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there is only one way to achieve the ultimate perfection, and that is the chanting of the names of Lord Hari. And then Ishwarapuri told Lord Chaitanya that you should take this Nam Sankirtan movement and you should spread it throughout the entire world. It was the order of his guru to chant Hare Krishna and to preach this message. And as soon as he got that order from his guru, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and his soul was to attract the world to the Nam Sankirtan movement. He didn't start until he got that instruction and that blessing. And following in that same line, Srila Prabhupada went to Mayapur, to the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. "You have given me this instruction." The same instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru gave him is the same instruction every guru gives to his disciples in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's parampara. To
to accept the name of Krishna as one's life and soul, and to teach others to do the same. To accept love of God as the ultimate and only true purpose of life, and to inspire others with that same conception. Yes, Srila Prabhupada prayed for blessings, and then departed. King George Dockyards, Friday the 13th of August, he climbed up that ladder that led up into the cargo ship Jaladuta. Only a few people were there to send him off. None of his godbrothers even came because they considered it's hopeless. At his age, to go on a cargo ship to New York and spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? New York? It's a powerful city. Nobody even bothered to see him off, except his son. An agent from the boats, and one Muslim man and a couple friends. That was it. But it's amazing because some time back, I've explained it before here, I was shown a newspaper article that Prabhupada went into a newspaper office to tell the newspaper that I'm going to America on the order of my spiritual master. And he was saying how there's temples and there's devotees who will receive me and all of these things. He had such confidence. And he went on that boat. I believe it was 31 or 32 days crossing the Arabian Sea, going by the Middle East and all of Europe, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, heart attack, seasickness, all alone, no medical help, no other devotees, feeling separation from Vrindavan. Then he arrives. What kind of reception? Some stranger that was paid to put him on a bus. Traveler's aid. And then he gets shipped off to Butler, Pennsylvania. He's just living in the YMCA. A little tiny room. And walk into the house of people who are eating meat to cook. Very difficult. And then he goes to New York City and lives in the Bowery and struggles. People threaten his life. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, how I was just discussing with one devotee, when Srila Prabhupada, one day, he went out to see this Captain Pandey. And while he was out, somebody broke in his little room and stole his typewriter, which was practically the only thing he had, is a little cooker and a typewriter, and that's how he was doing his translations and his purports, with that little typewriter. Someone stole it. Stole almost everything he had. And soon after that, he was walking down the street, and that's where he met who he called Mr. Howard Wheeler. Right after a great, great disaster. His equipment for translating was taken away. It looked very dark. Then he just meets some strange man. And gradually, people started coming. Why did he have to go through that? Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Because the purpose of life is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. So Krishna teaches us. He arranged the life of the great souls to teach the world what selfless love is about. To serve the order of his spiritual master, he was willing to do anything because there was love. There was compassion for all living beings. That is Srila Prabhupada. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach by his example and by the example of his dearest devotees. That unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna must be our singular goal. If we make any other goals, we cannot attain that one. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hinantasya budhayo vyavashayana. Krishna says those who are on this path must be resolute in purpose. Their aim must be one. Those whose intelligence is many branched, very resolute, must be our focus. Pure love of God. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is re-emphasizing, we cannot compromise. What does it mean to compromise? What does it mean to not compromise? It doesn't mean we become sectarian religious fanatics. Srila Prabhupada was not that. Srila Prabhupada honored and respected every living entity. And he did what was required to lift people to Krishna consciousness. We see by his life. But he never compromised the Siddhanta. Because if he were to do so, nobody could ever achieve the goal. That was his love. One very, very, very famous, successful yogi said to Srila Prabhupada, "And how are you teaching Sarva Dharma and Paritya, abandoning all varieties of religion and just surrendering to Krishna? And you're teaching these people to follow the four regulative principles and teaching people to take shelter of chanting the holy names according to vows?" He said, "You know, we've come from India and, you know, we're teaching massage therapy just to get people, teaching them that you're going to feel good. Just do this. A little meditation, a few asanas. You'll feel good. You'll be peaceful. Just cool off. You know. But you're teaching them this. We didn't have the nerve to teach this thing. But you're doing it. Not only are you doing it, but people are doing it. They're coming. You're changing their hearts." He was glorifying Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada really appreciated this person as a human being. He respected him as a spirit soul. But Prabhupada looked at him and said, "If you know this is the goal of life, why are you cheating everyone by teaching them something different?" Hare Krishna. So before we could really start to clean the heart, we have to understand what is the purpose in which we are doing it for. Unmotivated, unconditional love of God. And once we understand that principle, then through the process of Krishna consciousness, we have to very, very carefully cleanse all these desires for sense gratification, fruitive activities, mystic yogic cities, or even liberation. What to speak of prestige and power and high position. They must be eliminated from this heart. But we must be careful. Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa Goswami that when you're watering the seed of bhakti, weeds will grow along with it. The same dust and sand and straw that is described in this analogy is weeds in the analogy of a garden. Just as we must cleanse the dust, we must uproot the weeds. Because until we attain perfection, weeds are going to be growing alongside. Until we attain perfection, even if we clean the heart, this verse explains, still, Maya's going to send a breeze, and dust from outside's going to get back in. Hare Krishna. We have to be very, very careful. We have seen devotees. They become very, very clean. But somehow or other, some breeze comes and all this dust comes back in. Or sometimes we think we're clean. But there may still be one or two little pieces of sand. If there's even one or two little grains of sand, Krishna will not sit in your heart and manifest himself. Therefore, in Lord Chaitanya's cleansing Gundicha temple, completely cleansed it. The explanation you have already read. He swept and he swept with hundreds of brooms. He and his devotees sweeping, 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 piles and piles. And Lord Chaitanya was encouraging everybody to make bigger and bigger piles. And by his example, all the devotees put together made one pile of dust and straw and sand. And Lord Chaitanya made his own dust pile. And his was much bigger than all the collective devotees' efforts. And so when he was cleaning this temple, it looked like he had 1,000 arms. That was his enthusiasm. That's how we should be chanting the holy names. That's how we should be reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how we should be performing our devotional service. As if we have 1,000 arms and 1,000 legs and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a symptom of surrender. It is an expression of our desire. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, without enthusiasm, it is as if we are dead. We cannot be mechanical. We're not simply ritualistic. We're enthusiastic to please the Lord and enthusiastic to serve. And then after cleaning the whole temple, and they really, really worked hard. Of course, they were ecstatic doing it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do it again. Hare Krishna. They swept the whole temple again. And then they had all these hundreds of buckets of water. Devotees were bringing them from distant places, from Indrajumna Sarovar, from wells. And they were bringing them, carrying buckets one to another, and they were throwing it in the temple, on the ceiling, on the walls, on the floor, in every room. Washing and washing and washing and washing, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be polishing with his own cloth to make sure everything was absolutely spotless. It was pristine clean. And they let all the water out, like rivers coming out of the gates of the Gundicha temple. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wash it again. We cannot allow even a single dust particle to remain. Otherwise, how can we invite Krishna, Jagannath? That is the standard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected. And here we find that is the standard in which we should all be aspiring to clean our own hearts. Yes, we could be chanting. And we could be doing Bhagavatam. And we have to be very, very careful not to give in to our anarthas. One purport I recently read from Srila Prabhupada, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, simultaneously enlightened me and scared me. Would you like to hear it? You may be enlightened, or you may be scared. Because we're thinking, all I have to do is chant Hare Krishna, everything will just absolutely be perfect. That's true. But how are you supposed to chant Hare Krishna? That's another subject. It's not another subject. It is the subject. It's the only subject. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Said, unless one is meek and humble, one could chant the Hare Krishna mantra birth after birth after birth and never attain the goal. So yes, it is our philosophy. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, everything is revealed. But how are we supposed to chant Hare Krishna? That is all important. Srila Prabhupada quotes here in this purport that there are impersonalists who chant Hare Krishna. And their idea is once they become liberated, they don't have to chant Hare Krishna anymore. That means while they're chanting Hare Krishna, they have the wrong conception. So they're chanting of Hare Krishna is not awakening love of God. Their chanting of Hare Krishna may bring them to liberation. But that's as far as they can get. That is why association of pure devotees is so important. The character of a Vaishnav, the proper attitude of a Vaishnav, the service attitude, is all important. Otherwise, why are there 10 offenses? If all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna, why should we worry about 10 offenses? We recite these offenses before we chant japa every day in our temple. Because if you're breaking the offenses, I mean, if you're performing the offenses, then your chanting is not really the proper process of chanting. If we're offending devotees, if we're aspiring for fruitive activities, if we're worshiping demigods, if we're committing sinful activities on the strength of the chanting, you're not going to get the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna. We must simultaneously chant very, very sincerely and very attentively and searching our own hearts for this dust and straw and sand. And the chanting of Hare Krishna is meant to sweep it out. But we have to identify it and sweep it out and keep it out. Then the process of bhakti is very easy and very quick. Srila Prabhupada said, you simply chant Hare Krishna and follow these teachings. In this life, you will go back home, back to God. It's difficult. We all know what's inside our hearts. But Srila Prabhupada pleaded with us to be sincere.
And this purport teaches us what it means to be sincere. There should be no duplicity. There should be no justifications or rationalizations. There should be no hypocrisy. We should understand how far away we are, how dirty we are, and humble ourselves and really take shelter of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. To speak on this purport is a lifetime mission, actually. And I've already gone way over time. That is, I have all this sand and dirt and straw in my heart, and sometimes it impels me to break the rules of the temple. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But I'm very grateful that you tolerated me for this long duration. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So before everybody leaves, Maharaj will give the talk in the morning on Sunday. And of course, as we announced this morning, Saturday evening and Sunday evening, he will be giving a seminar on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So please, everybody come and make him feel enlivened to continue speaking this wonderful katha. His Holiness Ranath Maharaj ki jai.